In your Bible, please, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 14, verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the drought. Judah mourned, and the gates thereof languished. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. Their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pit, found no water. They returned from with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads because the ground was chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it because there was no grass. And the wild ass did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testifieth against us, do thou for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished and a mighty man that cannot say? Yea, thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. For thus saith the Lord unto his people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. I want us to bow together for a word of prayer together this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful singing this morning. Thank you for Chris and for Brent, God, for touching them and blessing our hearts and the congregational singing. And our Father, I want to thank you for this good land that you've given to us. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would breathe on us once again. I pray, God, that, Lord, that you grant repentance, that, God, we might see you move one more time in America. I pray, God, you'd move on my heart and the heart of all these dear friends. And I pray the Holy Ghost of God will speak to hearts of friends in the radio audience and in the internet audience. Our Father, I pray, oh God, that God, that you would bring us to a place, our Father, of genuine repentance, that we might see real revival. And God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to call your attention to a passage of scripture this morning that spoke to my heart. Last week, I got some materials from Brother Bobby Carden, Dr. Bobby Carden, down in Bladenboro, North Carolina. He's a great man of God, loves the Lord. And he made reference to this text that I'm going to read to you here again this morning. Look at verse number 8. O hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be a stranger in the land? That got in my heart. That began to really get in my heart. What is, why and what does it mean when God becomes a stranger in the land? And I'm afraid that in America, God has become a stranger in the land. Why is it that God is a stranger in the land? I'd suggest to you a couple of things very simply this morning. He's a stranger in our land, in America, and in our lives, and in our homes, in many of the churches across America, because there's no place for him there. The Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, but when he came to the inn, he said, there's no room in the inn. He said he came into his own received him not. He was as a stranger to them. And in America, and in our homes, and across this land, God's become like a stranger in America because there's no place for him. There's no place for him in our daily lives. People go through religious form. They're coming to this building and other buildings across the land and gathering great numbers this week. But through the week, God has no place in their daily activity. He's not involved in their decisions. They don't consult his wisdom and direction. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all that ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. My dear friend, there's no direction in their life according to God's will. Their lives are dictated by circumstance. Their lives are dictated by lustful flesh. And God doesn't enter into the decision of people in regard to that. There's no room for him. And God's become a stranger in the land because people don't seek his counsel. And there's no room for him in the decisions of their life, in the direction of their life, or in the duty of their life. Through the week, God's never thought about. They never think one thing about doing anything for God. They go morning to night running 100 miles an hour, but they never think about during that day, what's their duty to God? What is their responsibility to the Lord? Do they give any time to worship him? Do they give any time to prayer? Do they give time to the word of God? Do they speak his name and testify of his goodness? There's no room for him. Not only in their daily life and their decision, the direction, and not only is there no room for him in all the duties of their life, but there's no room for him in the delight of their life. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. We just delight ourselves in the Lord. But my dear friend, so many people go day in and day out and find no joy in the Lord. They don't delight in his law. They don't delight in him at all. They seek joy and peace. They seek pleasure everywhere except in the Lord. There's no joy in their heart. There's no peace in their heart because the God of peace is not a part of their life. There's no room for him. Not only is there no room for him, there is and he's not part of their life, no place for him, but there's no prayer to him. I'm talking about genuine prayer. Through the week, may come and sit in a church service like this, pray when the song leader prays, pray when the pastor prays. Perhaps you pray a little bit on your own before your food, but is there any genuine prayer? There's no prayer. There's no confession of sin. No seeking God and asking God to search my heart as David did, see if there be any wicked way in me, and throughout the day, throughout the week, to have your heart clear before the Lord. I remember reading about Charles Spurgeon one time, and it said that Charles Spurgeon was walking across a busy street there in London way back many years ago. In the middle of the street, he paused and bowed his head and prayed, and he went on across the street. One of his members saw him and said, Dr. Spurgeon, you must never do that again. You'll be hit. He said, but I had to. He said, a cloud passed between me and my Savior. Not a physical cloud, but there was some thought, some lust, or something went through his heart. And he felt compelled to stop at that very moment and confess and get clean and not have that to make residence in his heart, not to harbor anything in there that ought not to be right. My dear friend, God's a stranger in the land because there's no genuine confession, no getting honest with God, no pouring out the heart. He's a stranger in the land today because there's no prayer of confession. There's no communion in prayer. I've been reading the life of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Gospels, my devotional reading. And I watched over and over, and I began to note in the front of my Bible the many times the Bible said the Lord withdrew himself. I mean, when the crowds had gathered around, and any preacher would, if he had a crowd, he'd just want to take advantage of it when people were coming. But quite often when the crowds came, Jesus withdrew himself. And he went alone in the mountain to pray, to spend time with the Father, and to commune with him. And when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, that great high priestly prayer, he said, Father, I know that thou hearest me. How did he know that? Because he'd spent so many hours in his earthly life communing with the Father. How many of you could say beyond any shadow of a doubt, I know God hears me. I know I spend time with God. He's my dearest friend. He's as real to me as my wife is. He's as real to me as my husband is. He's as real to me as my children, as my boss man, my closest friend. He's my friend. I walk with him and talk with him along life's narrow way. Is there any communion of prayer? God's a stranger. He's a stranger because there's no place for him in our prayer. We don't spend time in confession, no time in communion, no time on calling on him. He said, if you call on me, I'll answer thee, show thee great and mighty things. Most of the time we pray when something breaks or when somebody gets sick or when something happens. But how much in this nation of ours through the day do people just call on his name? How many times as the Lord instructed disciples, you pray this way, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And give us this day our daily bread. He assumed that God's people would pray daily. He said, pray without ceasing. He assumed that God's people would spend time with him in fellowship of prayer. But there's no prayer to him. There's no place for him. And thirdly, there's no praise of him. In God we trust, our corn say, but his provision's been abundant. He's blessed us so much. How much of our day, how much of your day, how much of this nation's day do they spend praising God? How much time do we spend adoring his person and praising him for who he is and for the fact that he loved us and died for us and gave his son for us? The drama has been a blessing, and God's people have been moved and blessed and helped. And thank the Lord for that, for the great numbers that came. But that ought not to be a one-time-a-year thing. It ought to be daily recognized. Remember what he did for us on that cross and adoring him. Our memory ought to be jogged throughout the day that he died for us and gave his life a ransom for us. My dear friend, he's a stranger in our land because we don't adore him. We don't worship him. He's a stranger in the land because we don't acknowledge his provision. The very breath that you breathe, your every step, every beat of our heart, the many material blessings we have, it all came from him. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of life. But he's a stranger in our land. This is a unique crowd in here. You're a unique group of people. And somewhere gathered across this country, other groups like this. But the majority of this nation, not one time during the week ever acknowledge the goodness of God. Not one time think about Calvary. Not one time thank God that he's the great provider of all things. Not one time. Not one time. And sad to say that those who gather on Sundays quite often go all week long and never really acknowledge the fact that God has blessed us and given us so many things, so many wonderful things. Not only do we not adore him, not only do we acknowledge and appreciate his gifts to us, but we don't acknowledge his power. We don't. God's people across this land have figured out how to do things religiously. They figured out how to get everything done without God, without his power. He's a stranger in the land. He told that in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, when you come into the land, if you forsake me, he said, I'll send a drought. That's why he said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. Because he said this, he said, I'll send a drought. I'll send a drought across the land of Israel to get your attention. Nothing's more valuable anywhere in the world than water. And God cut the water spigot off there in Israel. He sent the Babylonians. He sent the Assyrians. He sent the drought. What does it mean? If God's a stranger in the land, he's a stranger in the land because there's no place for him in our lives. He's a stranger in the land because there's no prayer to him. He's a stranger in the land because there's no praise of him. But what happens when that happens? Can we go on without God? Can we as a people, can we as a church, can we as an individual, can you as a family ignore God? Can you go on with your busy schedules? Can you plot and plan and do things without God? Can you enjoy his blessings without any appreciation, without acknowledging him, without serving him, and not have a consequence? What happens? Notice in this text, it's full of it. First of all, there's the removal of his blessing. God, the Bible said, makes it rain on the just and the unjust. But there comes a point in time when God said, that's enough. And he removes his blessings. Suppose God chose to take all his blessings away from you today. Suppose God chose to cut the water off at your house and in your life. What about it? Suppose he did that. My dear friend, he removes his blessing. But there's another step in this sequence. He rejects his people. He rejects his people. And this is probably the greatest sadness in this whole passage. We look at it, please. Verse number 10. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, they have loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquities and visit their sins. Listen, God said, I'm going to reject them. I'm going to reject them. I won't respond to them. Look at verse 11. Then said the Lord to me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. You say, Brother Billy, that could never happen to America. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen tomorrow. If God chose to do that, it'd be horrific. Think about cultures across this world, lands across the world that were invaded, devastated, never rose again. Never rose again. And listen, he said, God, when God chooses and they will not repent, he will reject his people. He will not hear their prayer. Look down a little further. Look at verse number 19. Jeremiah cries out. He said, hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us? And there's no healing for us. We look for peace and there's no good. And for the time of healing and behold trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. There are many among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou, O Lord, our God? Therefore, we will wait on thee, for thou hast made all these things. The division is not in the original text. Read the next one. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. God's going to judge that nation. There's an overall promise of God's restoration. We've seen that in 1948. But for that group of people, God said, I'm tired of fooling with you. I'm tired of giving you chance after chance after chance to love me and serve me. I've offered you opportunity, and you rejected. What's the consequence of that? He said, there's a great drought in the land, great drought. And when there's a drought, there's no fruit, no fruit. Across this nation, I thank the Lord for what he's doing here. But I'm talking about across this nation, there's a great spiritual drought taking place across this nation. And God's judgment, I believe, is already on America. There are so few conversions. There's no real victory of power. There's no vision of God's people. Their daily lives are routine, and they go about it, never think about God. There's no surrender of their lives. God's people are wrapped up in the world, full of worldliness, self-glory, all that goes on around most of the religious institutions is a matter of hypocrisy and political maneuvering. God pulled his power back. Ichabod, the glory of the Lord's departed. Sin rages across the land. There's no shame. There's mocking of God, rejecting of God, and actually an attack on God to rid him out of our society and rid him out of our world. When God becomes a stranger in the land. My dear friend, it's a very sad note here in Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah was a great man of God, a great preacher, and he had such a burden. He's called the weeping prophet. You know why? Because he preached pre-captivity. Before they went into captivity, he was preaching and pleading and warning them, you've got a chance, repent, get right with God, get right with God, and they wouldn't. And God shut the door on that opportunity for them. I wonder if God ever do that for you, for your family. I wonder if he's dealt with you and dealt with you about being faithful to him, about honoring him, about being involved in serving him, about worshiping him, spending time with him, and you continue on in your religious routine and have no anointing of God, no power, no compassion, no zeal in your life, no vision, no victory, no vitality. I wonder if that's us. I wonder if we came to that place some point in time when God said, I'm through with you now. I'm through with you. I'd rather think not. I'd rather think that there's a hope yet still. The false prophets of that day preached peace and safety. They said the sword will not come. They said God's not going to judge us. And God in this same passage of Scripture says they are not my prophets. They prophesy lies. But I want to say to you this. I do believe with all my heart that God's not closed the door on us yet. We see evidences here in some other places that God's still God. God is still saved. God is still work. But is it possible for God to become a stranger in this land? Is it possible for God to become a stranger in North Carolina? To become a stranger in Johnson County? To be a stranger in your home? To be ignored, no place for him, no prayer to him, no praise of him? Do you see the beginning signs? Do you begin to see the beginning symptoms of God making himself a stranger? After much pleading, after much preaching, after the Holy Ghost of God dealing, and after continual not caring, continual rejecting, do you see any evidence that God may be becoming a stranger in the land? All these awful things. Turn over in your Bible, please, to Jeremiah 18. Did God give them opportunity? I want you to look here, and I want to read this very familiar passage of Scripture. I preach on it quite often about the pot and the clay. But he's talking to Israel, and he said, in this book, in Jeremiah, he has given them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I'll cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so you my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning this nation, concerning the kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to build it up and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that they obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherein I have said to benefit them. Now notice, now therefore, go and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I framed evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye every one from his evil way and make your way straight and do good. Listen, God said, here's what I said to you. I said to you, if you'd repent, if you'd seek my face, if you'd give me your whole heart, if you'd love me and serve you, he said, things are already orchestrated. He said, the Assyrian army, the Babylonian army, they're sharpening their swords even now. Destruction's coming. He said, but if you would repent, cannot I do as the potter? He said, I'll make you another vessel. But notice what it says in verse 12. And they said, there's no hope, but we will walk in our own devices and will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. I'll just skip down and read one phrase, verse 15. Because my people have forgotten me. Can I say this to you? I do not believe that we're there yet. I don't believe that God is a stranger in our land. I do not believe he is as a stranger in so many lives, in so many parts of our nation. But my dear friend, I want to tell you today that God can and will do great things for us and in this country. We've seen it evidenced around here, and what a blessing and testimony it is. But I'm going to tell you, you must never, ever take for granted the presence and the power and the blessings of God. It is eternal vigilance. It is continually seeking his face. Here, Jeremiah says, God says to Jeremiah, I gave him a chance. He said, I told them I'd take them just like the potter and I'd refashion them. But they said, we're not interested. We're going to do our own thing. They lost their entire nation. They went into captivity for over 1,900 years. Gone. What an awful thing. And God finally brought them back and assembled them. But my dear friend, God the Holy Ghost is doing a work. And I believe right now he's speaking to hearts. I wonder where you are. I wonder if you just see the beginning symptoms of the Lord becoming a stranger in your life. Is there any place for him in your life? Or do you live every day conscious, without him I could do nothing? Is he a constant companion, a constant friend? Are you in tune with him? Or do you come and sit and listen to me preach, or listen to Tim preach, or listen to singing, and you feel a sense of blessing, and then when you walk out of the door, you forget all of it, and you never think about it again till Wednesday night? God, the Holy Spirit wants to be more real. He wants to be more surrendered, more dedicated, given heart and life in every way. My dear friend, this building ought to be filled on Sunday night. It'll be filled on Wednesday night. And my dear friend, God the Holy Ghost, he said, I want to do something. I really want, but it's going to take this group. He said, my people have forgotten me. We can't do anything about the lost world but preach the gospel to them. The only people that can do it in repentance is us. The only people that can say, I want to give him all my life is us. The only people that says, God, I'm sorry that you haven't been a prominent part of my daily life. God, forgive me that I've not prayed like I ought to. Spend no time during the week in prayer. Only in extreme circumstances. Only when I have a need. Only when somebody's sick. Only when something happens do I really pray. I want to pray. Lord God, help me to spend my day witnessing or praising you, magnifying your name, and living that life. I want us to bow our heads for just a moment. Boy, this verse got a hold of my heart. I hope it does yours. I hope it'll ring over in your heart, over in your heart. Why should God be as a stranger? He ought to be your closest friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we treat him like a stranger. But the thing is, he'll withdraw his presence from us. He'll become a stranger to us. When he does that, there's an awful dry place. That's a place of judgment. My prayer, my burden this morning for you and for me is that we would give him our whole heart. What can you do for the glory of God? What can you do to see revival in your home and in your church and in this nation? What can you do? He said to the nation of Israel, I'm the potter. He said, I can remake you, remold you, refashion you. The devil's lied when he said it's too late for you. I don't believe it's too late. I believe God could fill your home with his presence. I believe he could put the Bible to become real in your heart and life. And as you read it daily, it'll become alive to you. God will bless you. You'll be conscious of his presence and conscious of his power. And God will give you unusual opportunities to witness for him. And you'll have a burden to pray in the morning and noon and night throughout the day that you'll spend time with him. And you'll know he's there. What a joy to be able to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that thou hearest me. To know he's there. To know he's close to you. To be in fellowship with him, commune with him. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord? How long? How long since he walked with you and talked with you? Has it become a stranger in your life? You didn't mean for it to happen. You just got busy. You got to getting out of church. And God became a stranger. But when God's a stranger, you lose his blessings. When God's a stranger, you experience his judgment, his retribution. When God's a stranger, you have no power in prayer. He said, I'll not hear their prayers. I'm just wondering this morning if there are any of you who begin to see the symptoms of God becoming a stranger in your life. You're not where you ought to be. You're not where you used to be. You're not excited about the things of God. Not excited about being at the house of God. You don't sense his presence. You don't feel him in prayer. You don't see his power. You don't sense him when you talk about him. I don't know any other remedy for it. If I read it through this Bible, he said if that nation would repent, I'd repent of what I planned for. And I believe this morning if you'd genuinely repent, if we genuinely repent and just say, God, I failed you. I hadn't been where I ought to been. God, I've treated you like a stranger. I made my own decisions. I found delight in everything but you. Had no communion in prayer. Not fellowshipped in your word. Not been faithful to your house. God, I got where I was content. Just come on Sunday morning and let that be it. Have no desire to be around the things of God, the people of God. Don't get excited about it. God, I pray you'd have mercy. There's awful, awful repercussions if we continue to go down that road, let him be a stranger in our life. Let's not do it. Let's not do it. I pray he'll be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I pray we can say, as those disciples on the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us, talked with us in the way? Live your life like that. Walking with him, talking with him. Let's stand together. Perhaps you need to come get around this altar and just do business with God this morning. You know you're not where you ought to be. I'm telling you, you're going down a dangerous, dangerous road if you just assume God's going to be there. He could withdraw his blessing. He could withdraw his power. He could let you reap your own iniquity and your own sin. Pray God to have mercy. If there's nobody to pray for this nation, where do you think it's going to be? You think it's the crowd in Washington that's going to save this nation? You think it's any kind of political force? It's going to be the prayers of God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins, heal their land. I wonder how faithful you are to the house of God. Does it bother you to stay at home on Sunday night, Wednesday night? Do you just not care? How about Bible study, Sunday school? How about in your personal life? Do you commune with him and pray, seek his face? While the music plays, let me invite you to come. We're going to have a closing prayer in a moment. God become a stranger in your life? Has he become a stranger in your home? Everything's just right between you and the Lord this morning. Nothing between your soul and the Savior. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Our Heavenly Father, as God's people move and come forward, I don't know all the needs. God, I feel that most of us sense a need of closeness to you. God, we don't want you to be a stranger around here. God, I pray that every service, that people will feel your presence. God, there's a family here this morning, some individual here this morning, that God, you're becoming a stranger in their life. They once sought you with all their heart. They once walked with you closely. Gradually, Lord, they begin to drift from you. You become as a stranger to them. God, I pray before it's too late that God, that you'd wake them up. I pray like that prodigal son that God, they'd come to themselves, that God, you'd shock them, bring them to a place, God, where they'll seek your face. God, we don't want to get without you. Lord, we can't do without you. Oh, God, I pray you'd have mercy on families and churches and on this nation. Oh, God, I pray you'd not be a stranger in the land. God, do a work, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory.